So just right, we started with Ish Mekadesh Bo B'Shlucho, and the first sigya was, you know, Mitzvah Bo Yosemi B'Shlucho and Tavla Mesav Tandu and things along those lines, which, you know, is really focusing very much on the actual application of, like, if you're really going to go and be Mekadesh B'Shliach, is that okay? Is that allowed? Is that nice? You know, are you getting the maximum amount of mitzvah points that you possibly could? Which is sort of like, you know, very into, like, practically, like, is this a good idea discussion? But we didn't actually talk about, like, why on earth it works, right? So so now the Gemara is going to move on, like, wait a second, now that we know whether or not it is or is not a good idea, and it's just, it's, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be jumping to it, even if it's a case where there's no Isser involved, still mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. The question is now, is like, well, wait a second, why on earth can you do something through shlichos, right? Who said that's a thing? And I think really off the bat, it is like, a puzzling concept on some levels, and in some cases, not as much, right? Examples, right? When is it that we think shlichos makes a lot of sense to us? And, like, in what cases are we sort of like, not necessarily buying it so much? Yeah.
Shlichut is most natural for me, like, in monetary matters, like having someone represent you legally or financially, like that's really easy.
Right. I hear that. What about financial matters? Absolutely. Just if you give, like, a conceptual hesber also.
Like having someone, you know, represent you or your business, taking out loans on your behalf or conducting business with the stuff you own, like that just makes sense to me, I guess.
I think also it's sort of like Dini Mamadis in general, a lot of it is sort of these, you know, complex interactions where, let's say, if I'm lending you something, right, so it's still mine, but you get to use it, but you have to take care of it. There's still, you know, there's the idea, like, you have someone's money and someone else's obligation to interact in a certain way. I think that's definitely sort of just the bread and butter of Dine Mamonis, is all about these sorts of things, number one. Number two is, what really is lying behind most of Dine Mamonis, right? Legally speaking, a lot of it's about Gemiras Das, right? It's really about the intent and consent, you know, and legal, and the permission of party A versus party B to use their money or to transfer ownership, right? So a lot of it's just about Das. And the more things about Das, the more something like, oh, I wanted this, I don't want this, I want you to do this, the more I think it makes sense for us to be like, oh yeah, I can be okay with someone else doing this for me, right? I want this. If I want to do this, and what really matters, let's say by a Kinyan, is like the Das to transfer ownership. So if I give it to somebody else and I have them hand it over and they're going to do the Maisa Kinyan, so it makes a lot of sense. Like, okay, right? That is like the significant point where the transfer of ownership is going to happen. And we all agree to that. Part two of Dine Mamonis, I think also is, a lot of it's about societal consensus, right? Like what's like, oh yeah, you know, you own this, you don't own this. This is reasonable, this isn't reasonable. A lot of it depends on societal consent. Certain kinyanim actually work merely because everyone agrees that they work, right? It's like, oh, kinyan situmta. You put your stamp on like these barrels of wine. So you're at the port and you look at a shipment of wine and you're like, yeah, I want to buy it. And you brand them with your brand. You haven't actually done any formal Maisa Kinyan. You didn't pick them up. Normally you'd have to like pick them up or something, right? By branding them, everyone agrees that you now own them. It's like in the Diamond District in New York, right? You handshake and then it's like, oh, you own it, right? It's a binding contract. Why? Because that's the custom of the marketplace. And that works. That creates a Kinyan. A lot of Acharonim think that you could be Mekadesh with something that you were only Kone Midrabana, with a Kinyan Darabana. Why? And you're Mei Daraisa. So the answer is because maybe a Kinyan Darabanan works Midaraisa. Why? Because everyone agrees that, yeah, this Kinyan works, right? Everyone agrees that you own it. If everyone agrees that you own something, you own it. And sometimes the inverse is also true. If everyone agrees that you don't own it anymore, then it doesn't even matter whether or not you know that you don't own it anymore. Okay, enough example. Let's say, I don't know, a tornado comes and picks up Betsy your cow and drops it off in Oklahoma. Okay, so you have no idea where Betsy the cow is. You don't even know that a tornado came and picked up Betsy the cow. But because you're so minutiae from having, you know, any control over Betsy the cow now, you actually just sort of spontaneously lose ownership, right? Because why? You have no way of enforcing your ownership. You have no way of tracking Betsy the cow down. So your ownership is meaningless. So even though your practical loss of ownership and inability to enforce it, at some point just becomes from de facto to de jure, actually not owning it anymore. So if that's true, so it makes a lot of sense to say Dini Mamonis is a great place to have shlichus. Because we're saying what? What is shlichus? We don't even have to necessarily give shlichus such a tremendous legal backing in order for this to make sense, right? It's a way for me to commit to something with my Gemiras Das, or it's just a way for us to all get on the same page about what's happening. Okay, so Dini Mamonis, great, perfect, right? Legal basis of shlichus, you don't need so much. Because I'm causing it to happen, I'm showing Gemiras Das, I'm committing to it. Fine. What other areas might we, yes, want to apply or not want to apply shlichus? It's not like a right answer, wrong answer. You can just throw out, like, you can pick, like, I don't know, whatever area of halacha you most recently thought about and decide whether or not you think shlichus should apply.
I would think, like, maybe not by, like, things that are ben adam lemakom, because those are things that, like, you're working on your relationship with Hashem, and that's not something that you can do through a messenger.
Okay, right? I guess, like, the classes, let's say, take, you know, Tilas Lulav or say Kriya Shema, right? Pashas, you shouldn't be able to do that al yedei shliach. Because the whole point is that you're supposed to do something, you know, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a good example of something which is Dafka Ben Adam L'makom, which is always done with shlichus.
Certain kinds of davening, but tzibur, like.
Okay. Oh yeah. So you and I were saying the same thing, right? There's like a shliach tzibur. I think you can counter argue that the shliach tzibur is the shliach of the tzibur as sort of a corporate entity, which actually I think leads us to like another area of, well, if you're part of a corporate entity, so it makes sense that only one member of that corporate entity needs to do it. In which case, shliach tzibur is like, oh, dafka, normally you couldn't unless you're involved, but the shliach tzibur is involved, right? The shliach tzibur is a member of the tzibur, and as part of that corporate entity, they're the, I looked this up. You would call that a, ooh. Oh man, I forgot what it's called, but like the representative of a company who's able to like sign contracts on behalf of the corporation. So they're called a, it's like a certain type of agent, a something agent, an authorized agent, I believe. One second, let me actually check that. Or authorized representative. I'm trying to, something along those lines, right? There's like a special like word for an agent who's able to sign things on behalf of the company, right? An employee of the company that, you know, the CEO is authorized to do commit things for the company, but the company isn't doing it, right? As an entity, there's a person who represents the company, works for the company, who gets to do those things, right? Who signs on to those things. Shliach Tzibur, I think, is a good example of that. And there, it kind of makes sense that they can do it, but only because they're part of it, right? Now, I think, okay, again, you shouldn't be able to do these things because, like, my kesher, right? And the answer is, oh, shliach tzibur, yesh kesher, he's actually doing it for himself, but since he's also doing it for himself, right, he can do it for the greater collective. So I think that's another case where dafka shlichus, again, makes sense, right? The whole entity as a whole can't do it. You know, corporations don't have hands, so they can't sign things. So the CEO is authorized to sign on behalf of the company and the shareholders. That's a little bit different, right? That's different, I think, than what we were saying by Dini Mamanis. Dini Mamanis, it's working more at a, almost like a cause and effect, right? It's almost like a grama situation where, you know, where in Dini Mamanis, it's as long as I committed to it and I meant for this to happen, so then as long as I meant for it to happen, it doesn't really matter exactly necessarily how it happened. As long as we're all sort of on the same page, maybe. Shel Tzibor is like, actually, you're doing it for yourself. You just also represent a broader self than we normally talk about. Another example, I think, of something Bein Adam Makom, which is dafka done with like shliach, would be korbanos. Right? They're dafka, it's something Bein Adam Makom, but it's dafka done with the shliach. And that does get into the interesting question of how much are kohanim shluchei didan or shluchei derachmana. There's a big, big sugya, right? Are the kohanim working for God or are they working for us? So if they're working for God, then it's actually much, it's not a question at all, right? Because that's the whole point. Okay. What about... Okay.
Did God appoint them as a shliach? What does that even mean?
If we have to. Or does God appoint them from a shliach? Well, he does, right? That's the whole, you know, there's actually picking them up and waving them involved. I never totally hopped. There's like, right? It's sort of like a tenufa going on with the minui of the kohanim and the levium. So there's definitely like a real minui, serious minui shlichos. You know, shake the seriousness into them. So, right? So if that, then okay, fine. You know, right? They're God's representative. If not, it's a little bit more of a question. Although, right, how could you counter that? The same reason why we're misupak, whether they're God's representative or ours, is sort of like korbanos always have to go through some sort of intermediary because you're never interacting directly with God. I mean, when you daven, you are, which is why we're like, well, you can't do that. But maybe korbanos, the whole idea of sort of having some physical gift to God, right, is obviously not consistent with God being, right, being God. And therefore, it's clearly, you know, sort of on the metaphor, intermediary, you know, way of giving representation to a concept. In which case, you know, maybe it's just easier to use to your shlichus. Okay, what, when else? Let's say about a gift. Let's say you're trying to send someone, give someone a gift or return something to somebody. Someone lost their pen, their, I don't know, and their computer, and you want to send it back. I think it makes sense to be like, oh, okay, you know, send it back with a shliach. If I threw it to them, I think that'd be fine as long as they catch it and doesn't smash in a million pieces. Maybe the same thing is true if we hand it back, right? So I was thinking along those same lines, if you have this, if you send it to a shliach, so you caused him to give it over. When Amazon, here's the mashal, right? When Amazon sends me a package, you know, and the guy knocks on your door and hands you the package, is he like a representative of Amazon? He works for FedEx, right? But Amazon sent you the package. So say, right? Amazon fulfilled their obligation to send me the package. It's more that they caused the package to get to you, right? So sometimes we really care, I guess, about the end result, and we don't necessarily need so much legal representation. Now, let's say, you know, moving to the other side of things, let's say I want to buy a house, and my lawyer is going to, right, sign on the house, or engage in all sorts of legal stuff on my behalf, right? Then suddenly, it's like, wait a second, he's doing legal things for me, but he's not me. How does that work? Right? How can he legally represent? Let's say it's divorce proceedings. Let's say it's, you know, something else like that. Right? Once we get to things that are more personal, the harder it is for us to sort of easily understand why a shliach is able to do all of these things. Right? Like what's there you really need to start coming up with some sort of legal basis to say, oh, you know, the shliach really can pretend to be me. He could really represent me. I really have empowered him you know, or what he's doing is really done on my behalf, or somehow something I'm doing. All those, you know, I really need some sort of legal basis to pull that off, right? Well, if it's just maybe the dinim amanis dinim, or maybe the like, you know, things that really matter as an end result, like delivering a package, the more I might not necessarily need as much of a legal basis. How would I translate shlichus? How would you translate it? Because I think that really ties back into what we just talked about, which is, how's it working? Right? There are a lot of different ways you could translate it.
I would say, like, you appoint someone to do your job.
Okay. He's an appointee. Other options? Yeah.
The guy you send, maybe.
Okay, more like a messenger.
Yeah.
Sendy? A messenger. Because something you send is usually like a messenger, right? So he can be an appointee, right? An appointee, I think, is right. Oh, he's someone who's, there's an appointment, like he's appointed to do a certain task, right? Like an appointed official is someone who has a very specific samchut. A messenger, right, has less independent samchut. He's really moving your thing, right, which you did or you made, you put in the package and he's supposed to bring it over there, but he has less independent capabilities, right? He's not really doing something. He's not really appointed to do something. Other options?
This is loose, but I guess like an intermediary.
Okay, very good, right? Or you mean an intermediary, right? He's, you know, sort of bridging the gap between the two people. The intermediary, right, I guess also in general, I kind of interprets between, you know, guy A and B, right? So there's some sort of translation going on. There's more, there's involvement, but at the end of the day, it's still he's still mostly there to filter through number one's words.
Well, there's the conventional, I think, which would be agent, which comes from like the Latin word to act on my behalf, to act as me, whatever that means. I think it's similar to appointee, but it's more specific about acting.
Right. I would say actually that's exactly an important hakira, which is how much is he an appointee in which he's really independent, right? But he has been appointed to do something. And how much is he an agent in which case he represents me, he's acting on my behalf, but maybe it's really being done on my behalf, almost as if I'm doing it somehow. All right. So just a few like options that I jotted down. Right. One is like he's a messenger, which is much more like, you know, the Amazon delivery FedEx guy. It's not like, oh, the package came from the FedEx guy, right? The package comes from Amazon. He doesn't even represent Amazon, really, right? His job is to get it to me, and Amazon fulfills its obligation to send me the product through him, but it's very much an end result oriented situation. Well, if we're talking about an agent, right, an agent is empowered to act on my behalf. They're there to do something for me. On the other hand, again, how independent are they? Doesn't sound like they're so independent. Representative, I think, is actually even maybe a little bit should have been changed the order. A representative is there to represent me, in which case they're trying to be me. I guess an agent might be there to do an action for me. As Alex is pointing out, it comes from the word act, while the representative is actually there to try to pretend to be me almost, right? The proxy, I think, is even more than that. A proxy, I feel like, is someone who's pretending to be me, but not because they're like, oh, I represent Bob, but they're like, oh, I've copied all of Bob, and I have, you know, I have like a copy of Bob's server here. I'm definitely coming more at it from the computer science version of proxy, but you know, it's almost like, oh, like I have Bob here, or I've copied all of Bob's files, so you can talk to me as if I'm Bob. Bob's over there. I'm not really Bob, right? The representative is saying, like, you know, empowered with the trust invested in me by the people of the state, great state of Louisiana. You know, I am their elected representative to go and do whatever. Right. The proxy is saying, I actually copied, you know, all the people of the state of Louisiana, and I know exactly what their internet habits are, and I can sell you that as useful advertising information or something. Right. Power of attorney, I thought, is actually interesting. That power of attorney, I'm not representing you necessarily, right? I'm not a proxy of you. I'm not even necessarily your agent, right? Power of attorney is more that I have the power to enter into legal obligations which are binding on you, but I am the one in power, right? An important reality of that is power of attorney is often given in cases where someone is incapacitated. So someone else is given power of attorney over their estate or over their affairs, which means that other person can make decisions for them, can enter into legally binding arrangements on their behalf, but they're not actually saying that I am that other person or even I represent that person. They're supposed to act for their well-being, but they're still not trying to be them, right? While a representative definitely is, or an agent's trying to act on their behalf, or a messenger's just trying to give something over, right? They have no pretension to be acting or even legally representing the other person. So I actually think we really have like a whole spectrum, and these are two really different factors, right? How much is it about giving over thing X that I'm supposed to do, or doing action X that I have? And how much is it about representing the other person? And how much is it about some sort of legal power, right? How much is it about like an action, and how much is it about more of a legal power? So I think those factors need of, you know, what are we really talking about are really huge to try to figure out within the realm of shlichus. Okay. Says the Gemara, shlichus minalan, detanya vishilach, milamid shehu osa shliach, vishilcha, milamid shehi osa shliach, vishilach, vishilcha, milamid sheha shliach osa shliach. Okay, so you have a drasha that he can make a shliach, she can make a shliach, and the shliach can make a shliach. Okay? The idea that the shliach can make a shliach, by the way, I think is definitely something we're going to explore more. Because why? Why can the shliach make a shliach, right? It's a little bit of an interesting, of a tricky question. You know, when we go back here, can your state senator go and appoint someone else to be the state senator instead of him? You know, probably not. If you're a proxy, can your proxy server make another proxy server? They can. Can your power of attorney appoint someone else as a power of attorney? Probably not. Can your agent appoint another agent? I don't know. You know, not necessarily. Can your FedEx guy, you know, hand it over to the UPS guy? Like, probably, right? So depending on how you see it, you know, you may or may not be able to appoint someone else. Also, just an interesting thing is that, like, can the FedEx guy give it to the UPS guy? On the one hand, like, yeah, like, all yes, right? It's all about getting the package to the other end. On the other hand, like, no, the FedEx guy doesn't have, what authority does he have to start, you know, handing the package over to someone else, right? His job is to give it to me. And he can't just give it to the UPS guy and be like, oh, UPS guy, you give it, right? So on the one hand, you're like, well, all he needs to do is give it over, so who cares how he does it? On the other hand, you're like, who is this guy? And on what basis is he giving my package to some random other dude, right? And same thing, let's say, with power of attorney. On the one hand, you're like, well, a court-appointed power of attorney, so he was appointed, and that's his job, right? On the other hand, you might say, what do you mean? He has the power, right? If he has the power, then why can't he appoint another person to do stuff, right? I mean, he's got the power of attorney. Legally, he has all the rights, all the responsibilities, all the legal power to do whatever he wants. So why not also give it to other people? Right. So that's sort of dynamic. I think is very present. Okay. Now, question number two. Sorry, skipped ahead. Why do we need three? Right? Now, I just gave away about v'sheach v'shilcha, v'sheach shliach osa shliach. So then it makes a lot of sense to me why I need a separate one for the shliach, right? But v'shilach melamed shehu osa shliach, v'shilcha melamed shehi osa shliach. Why? Yair?
Ari and I discussed it could be because the man and the woman have sort of different roles in the gerushin. The guy is active, is doing something, so it may be easier to imagine having a shliach there because he's just doing the action that you told him to do. Whereas for the woman, she has to in order for her to have a shliach, the shliach would have to more completely represent her, be her, and that's a harder pill to swallow.
Okay, very good. Right, if you're a shliach, and your job is to hand something over, so okay, FedEx guy, we know about FedEx guy. That sounds pretty reasonable to us. So this guy is the FedEx guy for the get, right? So he takes the get and he brings it over to her house. Not so crazy to us, right? On the other hand, the acceptance of someone else is going to create gerushin for this lady, right? Why should that work? Okay. Now let's just also, I think, give an example. If I were to take the get and make it a paper airplane and throw it at her, right? And she were to catch it. So then migureshes. So instead of making it into a paper airplane and throwing it, I'm giving it to somebody else to walk it over. I'm sending it over. So I could send it over as a paper airplane. I could also send it over through a FedEx guy, right? Is it a chiddush? A little bit, right? On the other hand, not so crazy, right? I sent it over, right? I initiated that transfer. Okay. But her, shehios shliach, to get the get, not so pasha that that she can have someone represent her, right? The guy who's giving it doesn't necessarily need to do that. Okay. One second. Yeah. Okay. So says the Rush, right? Just hold on one second. No talking time. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Right, so the Tosus Rush, right, says, okay, why are we doing this? It says, aval isha shemitgareshet bal korcha lo alim masa dida kulehai shetucha limno shliach bim koma. Lo alim masa dida. This is a little bit, this is different than what Yair and Ari were saying, which I also like very much. Right, Yair and Ari were saying that in order for her, if it's an action, so you can have your shliach be a messenger, right? If we go back to slide, number two, right? It's one thing to say that you can have a messenger. It's a whole other thing to say that you can have a representative, right? We're even skipping over the agent. So can you have a messenger? Makes sense, right? Vishilach, maybe even Vishilach is going to say you can have an agent. But who says that you can have a representative? Right? Who says you can have someone else represent you? The Tosus Rush is actually saying, kind of, in like a certain sense, the opposite. Isha shemitgareshet bal korcha. She gets married, she can get divorced bal korcha, right? It's really what you want is just her to get the get. She doesn't even need to accept the get. She just needs to get to her rishus. Lo ali maaseh dida kulehai. You can't appoint you might not be able to appoint a messenger or an agent, let's say an agent, to do something so trivial. Right? Now, it does connect to what Ari and Yair are saying, because maybe the reason why you can't have an agent represent you for something so trivial is actually because the only thing that they're doing is trying to be you, right? You're like putting on like a mask of like, oh, I'm the wife here. I'm accepting it, Because also, otherwise, what are you doing? Now, if you're appointing them an agent to do something, to act, so then they could be legally empowered to do action X, Y, or Z, right? They're doing action X, Y, Z on your behalf. But if you're just accepting it, so then maybe they can't do that, right? They're not doing anything, right? Number two, although I think this is really even more of what the Rosh is saying, is that when you're enabled to do action X, where's the locus? Maybe it's the problem is the shliach, right? You can't have a shliach do something so trivial, but maybe the locus is on the mishalech. Why would that make sense? Why would the mishalech not be able to send a shliach if it's too trivial? Lo ali masa dida kulehai shetucha limno shliach bim koma. Right? Her action is insufficient to allow her to appoint a shliach to fill her place. Right? The Rosh, as opposed to Yair Nari, by the way, there are other Rishonim who go with Yair Nari. Don't feel left out. But on this point, the Rosh's suggestion is like this. Tucha limno shliach bim koma? In general, yes. In theory, you could appoint someone to be in your place, to fill your place. Right? But, and there's a big caveat, only if there's some sort of maisa that's significant that you're supposed to be doing. So you can have someone put on, you know, the mask and be like, I am Bob, right? I represent Bob. But maybe Bob can only appoint you to do that if you have a certain measure of authority in this field. Right? So I'm trying to think what a good sort of example is. Let's say, you know, the sheriff can appoint people, right, and empower them to act as his posse. He can deputize people, right? The sheriff can go around, can deputize people. Now, a citizen can make a citizen's arrest, right? But they have insufficient authority to deputize people, right, to perform law enforcement activities. In theory, right, the law is here to protect the citizens and the law enforcement officers are here to protect the citizens. So why is it that that you can't deputize someone to, I don't know, do a citizen's arrest on your behalf or something like that? And the answer is very simple. I mean, you have no authority here. You exist. You participate, right? Can you authorize someone to file a police report on your behalf, right? Maybe not. Why? Because you're not sufficiently an active participant in order to say that you have authority, right, to pass that authority on to somebody else. You don't have authority. You're important. You exist. You're part of it. But you don't have authority over this issue in order to deputize people to act on your behalf. So even though normally, yeah, you could actually be monesh shliach bim koma, a shliach does represent the other person, but that's only if you have a certain level of authority, okay? So Yair and Ari are saying, well, wait a second, it's one thing to say that you can do an action on your behalf, it's a whole nother to say that you can genuinely represent. The Rosh is saying, well, maybe it's fine to have someone represent you, but only if you're an authority figure in this field, right? Only if in this area you have some real significance and real authority to do stuff. And if your action, if you don't get to do stuff in this area, you have no authority to act, then you can't pass your whatever relevance you have onto somebody else. You can't appoint a representative if you have no authority to act, right? And I think that's really important because it focuses also not just on the question of what can the shliach do, but what can the mishalech do? Right? In order to appoint the shliach, so what are the capabilities of shlichim, but what are also what type of mishalech do you need to be in order to even start appointing a shliach? Okay. Ashkechan begerishin, bekidushin minaman. We have these three. We learned that he, she, and the shliach can all appoint the shliach. V'kiddushin minalan. How do we know that it works? We know it works by gerushin. What about kiddushin? V'chi tema diyalef migerushin. And if you're going to say, well, if we know it from gerushin, why don't we just assume that it works in kiddushin? Ma legerushin shken yeshnan bal karcha. Gerushin works bal karcha. Right? When he's megarish, she just needs to give her the get. She doesn't need to agree to accept it. So maybe what? Maybe the dafka works by gerushin. Okay? Amar krav v'yatza v'haitza makash v'yitziya ma'yitziya l'mashu shliach afavaya nami mashu shliach. And why do we think that gerushin should work dafka because of bal karcha? Why should, like, what's the, what would the svara behind that be?
Well, if something is bal korcha, then we don't really need, like, consent from the woman, so it's easier to appoint a shaliach for someone who's just, like, receiving an action as opposed to, like, has to do something with conscious decisions.
Right, okay, so you're saying, look, I did it all already, right? When Amazon sends you a package, they're not doing something with you. They're sending you the package. They're legally obligated to send you the package, and they only fulfill their obligation once you get the package, maybe. But at the end of the day, they don't need your participation. So they can build, they can package the package, right? And then they could throw it at you as a paper airplane. They could deliver it with a drone, or they could send it with a FedEx guy, right? But either way, they're just delivering, right, object X. So here, instead of it being object X, it's chalos X. But it's a prepackaged chalos. I already did it. I created the gerushin because I don't need outside participation. I need someone to deliver it, right? But it's, I already packaged the warhead. I have a delivery system. So you can have someone else act as the delivery system, right? But they're not actually empowered to do any legal action, really. They're not doing anything. They're not being megarish. I'm being megarish. I'm simply having you, right, move it along, right? You're the delivery system. Okay. Now, what's one interesting question about that then? Is, well, wait a second, that makes sense for him. That's why he can make a shliach, because he could do a bal korcha. But we just said that, v'shilach v'shilcha, milamet shekios a shliach. Why would she dafka be able to make a shliach in gerushin where she's not a participant? Yeah, Yair?
I think for the Tosfot Rush, this is sort of easy because his Havamina was that her action is not really relevant. So that, you know, the conclusion is she is doing an action that is important. And so in that sense, the shliach is just doing an action for her, is receiving something. And here, this kind of shlichut and kiddushin is maybe more powerful because she has to have a mindset as well. I think from what me and Ari had said, which was that the shliach of the woman has to completely represent her, has to be her. This is a little bit more difficult. I don't have a great answer.
I also didn't say adrabba, right? The more that the Tosfos Rush is bothered, saying, "Well, wait a second, she doesn't really do a maisa, so how could she point a shliach to just, you know, to not do anything?" Then by kiddushin, where the shliach really would be accepting on her behalf and right being mekadesh, is much more of a ma'isa. So that should actually make the mali gerushin shekein yesh lo bal karcha is a reason why we should make the kal v'chomer in the opposite direction and say, oh, if it works by gerushin where she doesn't do anything, kal v'chomer by kiddushin where she is involved, she can make a shliach, right? So why would the fact that it's yesh lo bal karcha really help you here? So I think our potentially we can answer is that once the whole process is bal karcha, we don't actually need anyone to be an agent or anyone to be a representative, right? Because maybe once the whole process is bal karcha, we're not granting legal rights to anybody, right? It's really just a sort of, you know, it's like when you tell the delivery people to like drop it off at the neighbor's house instead of at yours because you're not home at the time. Right, and then your neighbor signs for it. You know, Amazon did their thing. You got your package. If your neighbors accidentally throw it out, that's your problem already. So if it's already bal karcha, no one's doing any legal actions. right? The Baal did his created the Gerushin, right? He's delivering it Ayde Shliach. It's like getting to her, right? Or her, you know, representative in a sort of accepting Rishus Haisha perspective, which might tap into like Dine Mamanus capabilities. But maybe since no one's really doing anything, maybe that's Zafka fine. Right? Rashi says, Shekin Yeshna Balkarcha, Hilcha Isnu Nami Ayde Shlichos. Like, oh, if it works Balkarcha, then you can also just do it Ayde Shliach. Sounds like almost. This I think this is what the Rash says. Madly Gershon Shekin Yeshna Balkarcha, Kivan Dibikal Nasa Hamaisa, Hilkach Nasa Nami Ayde Shliach. If it's so easy to do, right, because it works Balkarcha, so it's really already done, right? You need to check the boxes of delivery, but all of the heavy hitting legal work has already been done. In which case, oh yeah, maybe you can have, you know, shlichim sort of deliver the papers, but all the actual legal work has already been finished, right? So I think it's true in law, right? If you have to like serve papers, like serve a summons before it's legal, you know, before the person actually has to show up in court or has to respond. So technically, yeah, someone needs to like, you know, hand over those papers, but although he's not doing the legal work, right? The judge who signs the, you know, the summons or whatever is the one who is legally obligated the guy to come. It's just not binding until it's been served. But the legal work's already done. Okay, so one option is to say, the higher your bar is, right, or the more involved you are as a person, the more capable you are of making a shliach, says the Tosas Rash. And the more easily the maisa is accomplished, the easier it is to make a shliach. Those actually aren't opposite things, right? They sound like they're opposite, but they're actually not. Why? Why is the Tosas Rosh not really being Soser himself in terms of the mechanisms of Shlichas or the assumptions about Shlichas? Here he said, Dibikal Nasa Hamaisa, Hilkach Nasa Nami Ayde Shliach. Here, saying, Lo Olim Masa Dida Kulehai, Shetucha limno shliach bim koma. Well, that's our havamina. It's not true, the maskan, right? They sound like they're opposite. One is saying she's not doing enough, so therefore she can't make a shliach. Here it's saying, since it's sort of like a fait accompli already, so anyone can make a shliach. Yeah.
It looks like the difference is, originally the question is, what she does even a maisa? And now we've decided that it is a maisa, whatever, like we decided that it is a maisa, but it's a trivial maisa to do. So for Kiddushin, we're wondering if she can do, if we can do more complicated maisim.
Okay, interesting. I actually wasn't thinking about that. I think that's a very good point. You're saying that, it's one thing if you go to the representation perspective. So say you could really represent somebody else is a big chiddush, right? If we go back to our list, saying something, you could be, have someone's power of attorney or a proxy or even a representative. That's takes more guts, right? Takes more juice. To say that you could be somebody's agent or messenger is less surprising, right? Now, in order, whoopsies, the more that you're involved in doing an action, the more we could say, oh, you're being a messenger, you're being an agent, right? An agent is someone who's employed or empowered to act on behalf of someone else. If there's no acting going on, says Yair, then, right, there's nothing to talk about, maybe, right? In order to be a shliach, you need to be doing something. So the chiddush, we need to say that you're doing a maisa. You can be a shliach to do something. You can't be a shliach to be someone. The chiddush is that, okay, accepting it on her behalf is still considered an action. So you are her agent to act on her behalf. Now, how complex can those actions be, right? That comes from the opposite direction. You want him to be doing something, otherwise he's not an agent. You don't want it to be too complicated and too demanding, otherwise you might not be able to pass over that you know, that you can't empower them necessarily to do that, right? So you guys are saying, actually, it works out nicely. If you need to be an agent, so you want to be doing something, you don't want it to be too complicated, right? I think that's actually a really good answer. I was actually thinking something a little different, although I think that in terms of the lambdas, that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's very true. I think actually just the Tosus Rush, his sort of diuk would be lom ali masa dida kulehai shetucha limnot shliach bimkoma. Right. The problem is, can she appoint a representative? Is she sufficiently involved that she has enough authority to appoint a representative? That's like the locus is her, the mishaleach. Right? In order to send a messenger or an agent or representative, you need to have authority. Does she have enough authority? That's a question about the mishaleach, the sender. The next question is, if you have the authority, what can you authorize a deputy to do? Okay, so maybe you could deputize someone to help you arrest, you know, a suspect, but maybe you can't deputize them to, I don't know, to be a judge, right? You can't have like a deputy judge, like, oh, okay, I'm going to make this guy be, you know, I'm deputizing him to be my judge, okay? Because, you know, the judge, the local judge is like, I'm on going on vacation, I'm going fishing, I don't want to deal with this case. I'm deputizing Bob to be my representative, to be the judge, right? So the more the action is an easily done action, the easier it is to pass it on to a shliach, nasa yedei shliach, while here it's a question of limnos shliach, okay? Actually, I'm going to underline that. Right here, it's about limnos shliach. Right, it's about appointing a shliach. It's a question about her authority. Well, here it's hilkach naase hamaisa yidei shliach. Right, here it's a question of what capabilities can I pass on to the shliach? Not do I have the authority to do it? Okay, so what we have to ask ourselves is, does din X bichlal lend itself to shlichos? Right, that's what we're talking about at dini mamonis. Ben Adam Lamakom, corporate actions, things like that, right? Then the question is, what level of involvement do you need to make a shliach, right? When are you able to appoint a shliach? Do you need to be an active participant? Do you need, you know, is it okay if you're a passive participant? And then what level of authority and control do you need, okay? Are you need to be someone who has the whole thing in their hands, okay, in terms of power, let's say by a get, it works by karcha, so I could do the whole thing. And maybe since I can do the whole thing without any outside involvement, I can do it as a shliach because I'm all powerful here. Or is it just good enough for me to be authorized to do it? So let's say kiddushin, I'm authorized to be mekadesh, right? So maybe that's good enough. If it's about accepting the get, maybe being a passive acceptor and receiver is just not enough of anything, you know, to give me that authority or to even count as an action that can be done by the shlichos. Okay. The Gemara continues. Okay. So it said, okay, we know also kitten and kiddushin. What about other cases? Ela haditnan, ha'omer l'shlucho tzei trom, torim kedas ba'al ha'bayis. V'im inu yodea, Das balabais, Torin bibeinoni, echem mechamishim. Pichasari, his sara, trumasu truma, minolan. He tame a yell of migershin, malagershin, she came yeshan chol. Amarkra, atem gamatem, le rabos es a shliach. If you can have a shliach, be mafresh truma for you. Okay? Vinechta brahmana betruma, vinite in hanach, benigmarumine. Vishantika, le mefrach, she came yeshna bimachshava. Okay? Why don't we just say shlichos by truma and learn how kitten and kiddushin from it? because truma works b'machshava. Right? You could just think X is truma, Y is not, and that works as hafrashas truma. While getting a kiddushin, obviously you need an action. Okay. Now again, this is sort of right flipping ourselves, putting us a little bit in a tizzy, because I could have come to it and say, ah, truma is b'machshava, and because it's all b'machshava, I can empower an agent to do it, maybe because that represents Gemiras Das on my behalf, right? What did I commit to? I committed to whatever this Shliach does. So I committed to it. What is it? It is X that the Shliach does. Like we were suggesting by Dini Mamanis, right? And therefore, you know, maybe it's dafka things that are possible by machshava and by gemiras das, where it's really about your das that you could do shlichus with. But who says you can do an action through somebody else? It's not my action; it's their action, right? Now, so we've seen the idea. It's basically two ideas so far. One is the idea that, you know, shlichus as someone representing your das, or being able to apply your gemiras das. And we've seen the idea of someone being able to perform an action whose legality has sort of been packed in the front. Okay, and then we also learned out that it works by kiddushin. Okay. Tosfos points out that even if the Baal HaBayis came back and said, Lo haya bedaiti lekach, afilu hachi truma so truma. Okay, now that's important. Why? Because if the point is that it's about gemiras das, right? If the point is that you aren't, the shlech isn't really performing the legal actions, he's merely putting them into play, right? Or defining the parameters. Or fulfilling certain external requirements, then if the guy comes back and says, that's not what I meant, right? Lo haya bedaiti, so then it shouldn't work, right? If it's just a manifestation of the guy's gemiras das, and the guy says, well, I didn't commit to that, right? Let's say the guy gives 1/40th. For truma instead of, and I was like, I wanted to give only 1/60th for truma. Okay, for truma, you can give 1/50th, 1/60th, or 1/40th. Okay, depends how, I don't know how, much, how nice a guy you are, how much you like the coin. Okay, so there's another case where let's say you give the guy's best fruit as truma. And the guy says, I didn't want you to give the best stuff as truma. So it doesn't work. And your shlichus is bata. So this thing, I don't get it. Either it depends on the das or the Baal HaBayis, or it doesn't, right? Now we're asking also, in general, is it really dependent on the das of Baal HaBayis, right? Or have you somehow empowered this guy to do stuff? Now, not merely implement your das, but actually he can do things that you might necessarily not have wanted. So Tosa says, Hacha, yishlam hasam haynu taima, v'fisha ein derech b'nei adam l'ror hayafos k'dei l'trom ela habinoni. People give their average produce for trauma. They don't give their best. You're not supposed to, right? You're not supposed to give, the very, very best, you know, you give as truma. You give, you know, a nice amount of average produce. Okay, the guy can say, look, this is what I thought you wanted. It was a reasonable assumption. You empowered me to do this. And your das is batel to my das, to what I thought you wanted. Now, that sentence, I think, kind of goes in two ways, in two directions. How do you guys see that sentence? I'm just going to underline it. Sorry about the change in the PowerPoint for a second. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Rachel.
I'm just going to say, it just sounds like the power of attorney idea fits really well. He has all the authority, and you almost not lose some of your authority, but you might.
Right. I think it's very good, right? One that way to read it is definitely, tough luck, buddy. Your das at the end of the day doesn't matter anymore. Batla datcha is a da'ati, and my das is the one that matters now. So I can't obviously step out of the bounds of my mandate. So if I do something which is unreasonable, then it's not going to work. But if I did something reasonable, then my das is what matters and not yours anymore, right? Because what we've done is we've transferred authority over to this other guy and they have a power of attorney. That's definitely my first inkling of how to read it. Alternatively, is maybe you could be medayik, but la datcha itzel da'ati limasha maticha. You could say, why do I even need to say batla datcha itzel da'ati? Why don't we just toss out the das and say, I'm the shliach, you gave me authority to do this, so get out of town, right? My das is what matters, not yours. So I acted reasonably. I was empowered to do this. I was authorized to do this. Too late. Right? The fact that lekach amadticha ubatalta datcha itzel dati lemasha amadticha, in a certain sense, you could focus on the ubatalta datcha, right? And that's my initial nitiya. But I'm also open to the possibility that the fact that we need to say batla datcha itzel dati kind of means that this is really your das, legally speaking. Because you committed to, right, to your das, to me doing XYZ on your behalf. And therefore, my das represents your das. And not just it legally represents, practically, this is what your das is. You just don't know it yet. Right? If the shliach, one way to look at shlichus is say, power of attorney, you've given up your authority, tough luck, buddy. So as long as they act within their mandate, game over. The other way to read this line of Tosos is Tosos saying, no, we actually need to maintain the link between Das of A and Das of B, because Das of B is really just manifesting A's Das. The chiddush here is that when you appoint someone to shliach and they act reasonably, you have committed to their interpretation of your das and their manifestation of your das, even if you're not happy 100% with the outcome, as long as it's reasonable. And it's not just that that's the shliach's das and the shliach's das what's matter, it's actually the shliach's das imposes itself on the mishaleach, and now that is the mishaleach's das. Right? And the huge difference is how is shliach's working? Are we transferring authority to the shliach? Or does the authority remain with the mishaleach? Just the shliach is empowered to define that das. Right? And therefore, the mishaleach is the one who's really decided that XYZ is trauma. What do you guys think in Tosos? I feel like it's a toughie. I don't have like a strong preference one way or the other. A little bit now, I'm like a little bit more note to the idea that really it's the mishaleach's das. It's just like the shliach gets to say like, well, you know, I've defined your das for you because you told me to apply it, and that's what it is. And you just don't really realize that yet. Tough luck. That's my netiyah. that really it's still like the mishalech's das that defines things, but the shliach is able, is empowered to apply it and define it and manifest it, and the mishalech doesn't really get the opportunity to say, oh yeah, well I changed my mind after he did it. Right? It's almost like if a guy does something, al tanai, and then the tanai happens, can't be like, oh yeah, but I didn't want the tanai to happen. Right? Or I was hoping that it would happen this way and not that way. It's like, it's too late. You did the chalos, right? You committed to it. It was chal, you know. Too late. You did it, even though you did something that you really wouldn't necessarily want to do. Now, an asmachta is not, it doesn't work if the guy really doesn't think that he's committing to anything. But here, since this is very reasonable, we say, yeah, it works. Okay, finally, the Gemara brings down a case of Korban Pesach, and it says, V'shachtu to kol kal adat Yisrael bin harbayim, v'chi kol kal kulam shochtin, v'alo inu shochet el echad, ele mikan sheshlucho shel adam kimoso. And I think this is a key line, right? The idea is that, you know, the one person is shachting the korban, right? But it represents all of them. So shelucho shel adam kimosa. Okay, your representative is like you. Okay, that's a very different formulation than we talked about a minute ago, because before we were talking about, oh, you can have a shliach who represents your das. Oh, you can have a shliach to deliver something that's inevitable, right? Things that work bal karcha, things that work ayde das, right? Here, we're saying shlucho shladam kimoso. Now, what type of kimoso, right? Does it mean they represent you, that they're your agent, that they're your proxy, that they have power of attorney, right? But here, suddenly we're saying shlichos, not as a messenger, but as someone who represents you. He's kimoso, right? How kimoso is obviously an important question, but we're really saying that he's really representing you. Why don't we just nechtov the kachim nesi hanach v'nigru minei mishum dikel mefrach ma v'kachim shkein rov ma'asayim ha'adei shliach. Okay? Right? Certain fields lend themselves to shlichos more than others. Okay. Now, another small point, I'm really going to say this already, lachas, but then the Gemara, and we'll get back to this. Who can you point as a shliach? Okay? You know what? We're gonna pause here, I think, because I gotta go in a second. Anyway, what we've seen, though, is that there are a lot of different sort of loci of where does the power of shlichus come from, right? What type of things work in shlichus? What fields work in shlichus? What level of authority does the mishaleach need to have? And what type of authority or action or commitment are you trying to get from the shliach? Is it something that you could have done b'machshava? Right? Is it something that you could have done bal korcha, so you have authority over it? Is it something that because you could do it bal korcha, it's inevitable, so the action is sort of just, you know, a fait accompli? Is it something that you could have done b'machshava, and therefore the shliach is empowered to manifest your das? Or is it something that you could do b'machshava, and therefore, oh, you know, you really have authority over it? Or it's really the sort of thing that doesn't need you to necessarily do it in person. You could do it from afar. You could do it from afar through a shliach, but you're still doing it because it's really through your machshava. Right? These questions, then the maskat of the Gemara brings us, no, shlucho shel adam kamosa. Question is, how much do those original points remain valid, right? How much do those potential limitations or expansions of shlichos and options for how they would work exist, right? So we said, shlucho shel adam kimosa. Does that mean all of shlichos is representation? Or does the option of being a messenger, being an agent still apply? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm really going to